If we've not met before, my name is Charlie Salamone, one of the lead pastors here at Westview Bible Church, co-lead pastor with my friend Cheryl, who's floating around. She was just up here. Here tonight, normally we do church in the morning. I would love it if we just did nights. That would be a great thing. Mornings, if you know me, mornings are... I don't like them. But the reason we have gathered on this evening is because it is Good Friday, and this is when the church has traditionally celebrated what Jesus did for us. Now, is celebrate the right word for why we've gathered today? Did we come here? Is it appropriate that we come here to celebrate what Jesus did? Is that the right word? Well, that was on my mind as the week began. And I woke up Monday morning. Woke up Monday morning. And it was not like a normal Monday morning. Mornings, not good. Monday mornings, the worst. But on this particular Monday morning, something was different. I woke up Monday morning. My children got on the school bus, all of them, without too many tears. So that's unusual. My wife was looking amazing, which is not unusual, but I took note of it on that Monday morning. So I gave her a hug. That made me feel good. I brewed some coffee, fresh, and I had one of the things that makes French Quebec amazing. I had a fresh almond croissant. Okay, I would have moved here just for that. So I was doing good, very good. I got to the office. It was a little chilly in the morning, so I turned the heat on. I got this heater below my feet, so I could just rest my feet on the warm heater. And I am doing good in life. It is morning, but I am feeling good with beauty, with flavor, coffee, warmth. And then I open up the scripture for which we would now focus on. Let's read it together. John chapter 19, verse 1 through 3 goes like this. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. And, started to feel a bit of a disconnect. You know, I got my comfortable, warm, flavorful, beautiful life. And there's Jesus, and he got flogged. That's the word. We don't use that too often, flogged. It wasn't just a regular beating. It wasn't even just a regular whipping. It was like a multi-strand whip with like pieces connected to it, like glass or metal connected to the strands of the whip. There was a certain senator at the time, Lucius Apronius or something like that. That was actually his preferred method of execution when he would sentence someone to execution. Flogging could kill you. So he was flogged, and they put the crown on his head of thorns to inflict more physical pain, and they were mocking him. Other passages say they were spitting on him. So what began in this chapter was Jesus' time of physical pain. And what perhaps was worse was, with the mocking, the humiliation. The goal of the cross, the goal of what Jesus went through, was physical pain and public humiliation, shame. Pain and shame. Before they put him on the cross, you know, they took his clothes. They stripped him of his clothes. And the purpose was more shame. Make it more painful and humiliating for the person who is up there unclothed. That's what we remember today. And so there I am, enjoying a very comfortable Monday and thinking about this. Should I be doing something different? Is this how I should be spending my time right now in light of what we're... You could see the disconnect I was feeling. In fact, 20-some years ago, the movie that Mel Gibson made, you perhaps remembered if you're old enough, The Passion of the Christ, which was a dramatization of this day, the torture, the crucifixion. I was a young guy at the time, just out of high school, and it was a popular movie for believers and unbelievers alike. You know, so people would go see it in the theaters, and I went with one of my high school friends, and I remember we got our tickets and we got in, and I'm heading for the room with the screen, and my buddy, my high school friend Tony, he goes off course to get in line to buy some popcorn and Reese's Pieces, and I remember thinking, I'm like, I don't know if this is a Popcorn and Reese's Pieces movie. It just didn't seem right to me, you know? But here am I, preparing for Holy Week, preparing for Good Friday, and I'm just enjoying myself. Am I enjoying myself too much? All of this begs a question: how shall we respond? How shall we respond to what he did? What's the appropriate response? What should we do on Good Friday? How should we feel on Good Friday? You know, if I was to look it up, and I did look it up, how does the church traditionally do Good Friday? There's a word that's going to pop up a lot: somber. It's a somber service. It's supposed to be a somber service. That is the traditional thought. And that's one of those words that we don't use too often. So I just was like, what do you mean by somber? What is the definition of somber? Just English definition. And it means dark, gloomy, sad. And a lot of people would say somber is what today is supposed to be because of what Jesus did. Somber, somber. And to appease those who would like today to be somber, I dressed almost completely in black. But that's about all I'm going to do today. That's somber. I'll let you know in advance. It's my conclusion. That's not what Jesus wants us to be today. That is not... If you read what we read and you get a sense of sadness, totally fine, legitimate. I feel that, what Jesus did for us, I get it. But the idea that it is our duty to be dark and gloomy and sad, I don't think that's what he wants. I think the word that I used when we started, celebrate, is appropriate. I'm gonna pray and we're gonna dive into this. And you'll see how and why I came to this conclusion. And let me pray. Father God, you are here with us. Jesus, what you did matters today, Lord. Lord, who you are, Lord, matters. Lord, I would ask that now, what would be evident to all of us is, first, that you are alive, Jesus. Second, that you are good. And third, Lord, that you are here. Let it be known that you are alive, that you are good, and that you're here, Lord. We ask that in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so how shall we respond to what Jesus did? How should we feel and what should we do? I don't think the goal is to be dark and gloomy, even today. I don't think that's the expectation. What is the expectation? Well, in order to answer that, let's take some time to consider what actually happened on that day. What happened? Why it happened? And then we can answer the question, how then shall we respond? Okay? Can we walk through that together? What happened? Okay. Well, what happened was, he died. Let's read that part of the story. Jump ahead, John chapter 19, verse 28 to 30. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant. Did I pronounce that right? Hyssop? Hyssop? Stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He said, it is finished, and he died. So what happened was he died. But there's a little detail that I want to zoom in on, and it's the word that I said earlier, hyssop. I should have figured out how to pronounce it because I was planned on talking about it, one of those things. Let's just assume I've got it right. Here's hyssop. Hyssop. There's a note here. At the moment of Jesus' death, right before it, to his lips is brought a hyssop branch. Okay, so what? Well, what we're going to do now, what I hope to do with this little detail is show you, number one, why Jesus died, and number two, and this might be a little of a lofty goal, but I'm going to go for it anyways. Number two, I want to show you that you can trust the Bible. I'm going to show you, because once in a while, as a pastor, I might get the question, someone might say, how do you know it's true? How do you know it's not just a story? And if you don't know me, if you don't know my story, well, you don't know that I used to be that person who would say to Christians, how do you know it's true? Because I think it's just a story. You know what I mean? So what I'm going to try to do is tell you in just a little bit of time what happened, why, and show you the Bible's not like any other book. And this story, if you want to call it that, is self-authenticating, okay? It shows itself to be true. So, okay, where am I heading with that? Hyssop, hyssop, back to that. Hyssop, the hyssop branch, and the moment he died, hyssop branch came to his lips. He's bleeding on the cross, and then he dies. Okay, so what's your point? What's your point? Well, you know Jesus came about 2,000 years ago, but the Bible, the story of the Bible starts before that. Here's the Old Testament that was written 1,500 years before Jesus was born, the Old Testament began to be written, okay? And so you have this huge chunk of various scriptures that the people of Israel, the Jewish people, knew was the word of God for a long time. And there's a few times in these 1,500 years worth of scriptures, there's a few times where hyssop is mentioned, okay? There's a few times where this particular branch, particular flower, is brought to attention. And in each of those times, you see something, okay? Let me tell you the most well-known. For a very long time, it has been the most important day on the Jewish calendar, the day of Passover. You've heard of it, I imagine. It's a big feast for Jewish people even today. And it began when God said to the people of Israel, back in Egypt, he said, every family together, kill a lamb, sacrifice it, and take a hyssop branch and dip it in the lamb's blood and rub it on the doorpost. And just pause for a second. Can we agree that that's kind of weird? Can we agree that by itself, that's just kind of weird? God said to do it. Okay, I'm gonna do it, but it's kind of weird. One of my favorite movies is the original Karate Kid. You know, you've probably seen it, and if you haven't seen it, you know some of the iconic things. And one of the most iconic, you know, is when Daniel-san wants to be a ninja, you know, and he's got this master, Mr. Miyagi, and Mr. Miyagi's gonna train him, and he goes, you know how it works, he goes to get trained on how to fight, and Mr. Miyagi says, wax on, you know, wax off, like do that, wax the cars, specifically like this, wax on, wax off, all day for hours. Wax on, wax off. And Daniel-san has no idea what he's doing. But he just says, that's what you do. That's what you do. And let me tell you, there's a lot of stuff in the Old Testament like that. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of those wax on moments where it's just like, okay, do this. And a thinking person might say, okay, that's kind of weird, but I'll do it. Here as it is, God said, take the hyssop branch, dip it in the blood of a lamb and put it on your doorpost. That doesn't make any sense, but okay, we'll do it. And the reason why it's called Passover is God said, when the angel of God's judgment passes through, he will pass over you when he sees the blood of the lamb on the post of your door. That's weird, okay? Why does the angel of God's judgment care if there is blood from a hyssop branch on the door? Why does he care? It's weird. That's what I'm trying to say. That was 1500 BC, and they did it for 1500 years. Every year, they would do this with the lamb to remember that day. And then, 1500 years later, Jesus emerges. John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. His blood, the hyssop branch. Do you see that? It's the same thing. For 1500 years, it was wax on, wax off. They didn't know what they were doing. Not long after that Passover event, Moses tells the people, because God tells Moses, and then Moses tells the people, if there is someone who needs to get cleansed, this is what you do. Get two birds, okay? Get two birds. Get some cedar wood. And get a hyssop branch. Okay, I'll do it. Get two birds. This is Leviticus chapter 14. Get two birds, get a hyssop branch, and get some wood. Take one of those birds, kill it. Take the blood from the bird, mix it with the cedar wood, okay? Dip the hyssop in it. Okay, do you see? This is just this like wax on. Okay, I'm doing it, don't know why. Then take the other bird, dip it in the wood hyssop blood mixture, and set it free. And then the person will get cleansed. That's weird. Can we agree that that by itself doesn't make any sense? Can we agree that by itself, that's as weird as someone saying, wax on, wax off, all day, wax on, wax off. Hyssop branch, blood, wood. One bird dies and the other bird is set free. Well, I'll fill you in. Jesus is the bird that dies. His blood on the wood, on the cross, with the hyssop. He's the bird that dies, and we are the birds that are set free. One dies, the other set free. For 1,500 years, that's what they would do. 500 years after that, 500 years after that, 500 years after Moses, King David does what is arguably the worst sin in the Old Testament. I don't got time to tell you, but it's worse than anything you or I have ever done. He does the worst sin in the Old Testament, arguably so. And in Psalm 51, he cries out to God, and this is what he says. He says, cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Hey, David, how is hyssop going to help you? Do you see what I'm saying? This is my point once more. For 1,500 years, it was wax on, wax off. I have no idea why I'm doing this. 1,500 years. And then, just like Mr. Miyagi, Danielson's getting tired of it. He's getting tired of this. And he's like, what am I doing this for? You know, and then, if you don't know, Mr. Miyagi then says, okay, let's see the wax on, wax off. And then Mr. Miyagi starts, punching, kicking, and Daniel's got perfect blocking. It's like that whole time. He didn't know it, but the whole time, Mr. Miyagi had a plan for this wax on, wax off. And here's what I'm getting at. Without Jesus, the Bible makes no sense. But when Jesus arises, the lamb that takes away the sins of the world, the bird that sets the other bird free, the death of that bird, the one who can cleanse us from even our worst sins. Another Old Testament passage. This one was written about 700 years before Jesus. The prophet Isaiah said, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And that's an accounting term when he said finished, as in it's complete, it's paid for. What happened was Jesus died for our sins. And what happened was this was the plan of God Almighty for a very long time. This was written down a long time before Jesus came. It was written down clearly in the passage I just read where it says he was pierced for our transgressions. It was written down clearly and it was hidden in those stories that made no sense until Jesus arose. The Bible, like I say, is self-authenticating. It's quite amazing. So what happened was he died for our sins. He paid the price so that we can be the bird that flies. That's what happened. But why? But why did he do it? Why? Why did he pay such a heavy price? Oh. Have you ever bought a really expensive gift for someone or put a lot of time and effort into a very expensive gift for someone? My dad, he loves his granddaughter. He loves his grandkids, but he has a special love for his granddaughter. And she's smiling because she knows where I'm going with this. He loves his granddaughter. Last year, he learned that her class was taking a special trip to France and Italy, which was pretty expensive, I'll be honest. And Her mom and I were like, yeah, right. Myself, who's never been, you know, across the ocean, was like, yeah, right, kid. Well, her grandpa found out about this school trip. And let me tell you, he insisted on paying for this trip for her. And, there was a certain voice that was like, you should not do this, Dad. That's a lot of money. I mean, you're retired, you know, you're not extremely wealthy. You should not be spending your money on this. It's very expensive. But the reason why I wasn't going to stand in my dad's way when he wanted to buy this trip for my kid is because I could see that the idea of buying her this very expensive trip made him so happy. And he said to me, I think I am more excited about this than she is. He was so excited, he was so happy to be able to spend all this money and send her on this trip. Why did Jesus pay such a heavy price? Why did he do it? We know why he did it because we read it. Hebrews chapter 12. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Meaning, for the joy set before him, the physical pain, the humiliation, the physical pain and the shame, for the joy set before him, he endured it. And in enduring it, despised the shame. What that means is, as he was suffering, as they were mocking him, what he said was in his heart, I'm not going to let that win. I'm not going to focus on that. I am not going to give that shame my attention. Instead, joy. I will look with joy. It was with joy that he did it. He was happy. Not to have to go through it, but he was happy for what he was buying. It was with joy he endured the cross. What did he do? He died for our sins. Why? Love. With love. The same reason that my dad wanted to buy a trip for my kid. It made him happy. That's how you feel when you spend a lot for someone you care about. It was with joy he did it. Now, what happened? He died for our sins. Why? Because he wanted to. He wanted to have a people forgiven. He wanted to be our God and for us to be his people. He wanted our sins to be forgiven. That's who he is. What happened? Why? And now the final thing. How then shall we respond? How should we feel? What should we do? How then shall we respond? Now, let us imagine again that you spent a lot of money, put a lot of time, put a lot of effort, even pain, into purchasing something, a very expensive gift for someone. How do you want them to respond? Because I'll tell you what you don't want. What you don't want them to do is sit there, dark and gloomy and sad, and say, well, I just feel bad that you spent so much. I just feel so bad. I can't be happy on this day because I just feel so bad for what you did. Is that what you want? Absolutely not. Of course not. That's not what you want. You're happy. You have joy to give someone you love such a precious gift. What you want from them is to share in your joy. Is that not why we should celebrate today? Not only that, as the late African-American Baptist preacher from the mid-20th century, S.M. Lockridge, what did he say? He said, yes, it's Friday, but Sunday's a-coming. As in, we know that this isn't the end of the story. This is not a funeral service, okay? I mean, if you've ever been to one of those Christian funerals where there is just this unexplainable joy because we know this person's going to get up one day. It's not over. Joy is the appropriate response to what Jesus did. That is what I'm trying to say. Today, we're not going to be dark and gloomy. I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see that as the right response to what Jesus did for us. Now, it may be that you feel like, I'm thankful, I'm happy, but I want to show it. Jesus did so much for me. I want to now respond in a way that is fitting. Well, the first way that we respond is simply by accepting it. You know what you really don't want to do? What you really don't want to do? If someone paid for a very expensive gift for you and they're so excited to give it to you because they love you, what you don't want to do is say, no, thank you. I can't accept that. We want to accept it, is what I'm trying to say. And the way the scriptures say it is to be received through faith. Meaning the way we accept it is simply by believing. And by believing, we just say, thank you for what you did. Sins forgiven. Thank you. That's faith. Now, but you might feel like, yes, but something is just swelling in me where I want to show my appreciation. I want to now live this out. There is a way to do that. And Patience actually read it, but let me read it again. This is still answering the question, how then shall we respond? John 19, this is you could call this Jesus' last wish before he died. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Where Jesus said, let her be to you as a mother and let him be to you as a son. That's what he wanted. In other words, what he wanted is for the church to love one another. This happened to me this week. Strange. Monday, like I say, I'm thinking about all this. What does Jesus want from us? I'm reading the definition of somber, and I'm like, is that what this is supposed to be? And I do what I often do. I go for a walk, and I'm on Guay Boulevard. I told you a story on Sunday about something that happened to me on Guay Boulevard. Well, I'm on Guay Boulevard again, walking, and some guy yells, "Hey, Pastor Charlie." And I turn around, I'm like, I don't know who that is. he comes, introduces himself, and he says, yeah, I've been to the church a few times. He says, I go to another church, but once in a while, you know, I'll come here. And he was a guy, probably in his 50s or so, and he was with a young man, maybe 20 or so, and he introduced this young guy as his brother. And I actually thought to myself, it's kind of a big age gap here, but whatever, you know. But then later I learned that, you know, the like program, like big brothers, big sisters type thing, where actually what happened was he got matched with this guy to be kind of like a role model, big brother type person. And they got matched 12 years ago. And he's hanging out with this guy. And what they were doing together was they were delivering food to people in need from the On Rock food pantry. And I was just like moved by this. I'm like, that's really special. And I don't even know why he said it, because I certainly didn't tell him what was on my mind for this service. But he says to me, you know, the Christian life, we're not supposed to be like Eeyore. You know, Eeyore, like from Winnie the Pooh, just like down, gloomy, somber. It's like, we're not supposed to be like Eeyore. We're supposed to be happy. We We are the bird that is meant to fly. That's the good news of what Jesus did for us. We are the bird that is meant to fly. And in flying, let's go and love one another. Let us be a family. Father God, I pray first. Father God, first I pray that we would believe in your sacrifice. That we would believe that it's not just a story, Lord. That we would believe that you, God, did not leave us in the dark to wander and not know what we're doing in life, what the purpose of it all is. That you cared enough to come here and to show us, Lord. First, I pray, let us believe that it's not just a story. Lord, let us believe that you see, that you care, and that you're good, Lord. First, I pray, let us believe. Lord, then I pray, let us understand. Let us understand that forgiveness is at hand. It's here. We can have it. Let us understand that we can be accepted just as we are on our worst day, when our sins are more than we even realize. Let us believe that it was there, it was then that you loved us. You loved us at our worst, Lord. Let us understand our sins are paid for, it is finished. Lord, let us believe. Let us understand. Lord, third, I pray, Lord, let us then respond in the way that you would have us, God. Let us respond with thankfulness. Lord, let us respond with faith. Lord, and let the love that you have given us live through us, Lord. Let the love that you have given us live through us, Jesus. Our Savior, our friend, our King, the one who loved us when we did not love you. When we didn't know you, you knew us. Lord, you see our hearts. You know the secret burdens of our hearts. You know the secret fears of our hearts. You see, you know, you care. Lord, let us believe. Lord, let us believe, and in believing, Lord, let us know you. Let us experience you. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit given so that we can know you, so that we can see you, Lord. Lord, oh, I pray that faith now, faith today would be alive. But I pray for those who have come here maybe not really knowing who you are, Lord. I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Today would be the day deep in their hearts they would say, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, come into my life and give me life. Jesus, come into my life. Lord, help us believe how good you are and help us receive you by faith. Jesus, come into my life again, Lord. Come into my life. Thank you, God. Thank you. You did not leave us in the dark. You sent us a Savior. Let us now worship you and go on living lives of love. In your name, Jesus, amen. So friends, now we're going to share in communion. You don't have to be a member here to do communion. This is for anyone who wants the forgiveness of Jesus, anyone who wants Jesus in their life as a friend, as a Savior. This is for anyone who wants that. And what you do, if you've never done it before, you just come. What Jesus said was, before he was arrested, before he was betrayed, before he was tortured and killed, Jesus, he took bread and he took wine and he said, this is my blood, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. So what that means for us is do this with thankful hearts. The price that he paid. This isn't a somber. This doesn't need to be somber. We can do this with joy. So you come, take the bread, take the wine, or for our case, it's juice. Take it. You can take it back to your seat and partake at your own time during the few songs that we're going to do. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the gift that we have of your body broken for us, your blood spilled for us, so that we can be clean. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen.